All right, y'all, let's go ahead and get started. Heavenly Father, we just come before you as always to acknowledge you in a world where so many choose not to acknowledge you, y'all. We as the remnant here, we choose to acknowledge you each and every day. And we just thank you, y'all, for your many blessings. We thank you for your purposes and your plans. We thank you, y'all, for your will and that truly you are a wonderful God. And it is a pleasure to serve you each and every day. We just thank you for all that you do. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right. So today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 60. The title of today's message is Arise and Shine. And we've been dealing with a lot of things here lately, you know, just speaking to the things of the future. And you know, some of it seems kind of, you know, grim, and there will be some of that, right? But at the same time, there are things that we can look forward to with anticipation and also hope for the future, right? So this is one of those things where, one of those lessons along those lines. Again, always desire to encourage us in spite of, you know, all that is. I just desire to keep us encouraged. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." So, it's like what I was saying in the prayer. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to have a fellowship with the Lord and to have the Lord's presence be upon us, right? It truly, truly is a privilege. So, again, here we say, you know, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth." And so, it's explaining, like, and this can be physical darkness, but this goes beyond just physical darkness. "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people," right? So when we look at gross, we can look at the definition really quickly. And it says gross darkness, it says gloom as of a lowering sky, gross, thick, dark. So gross darkness, not just dark, but gross darkness. The people. It says, "But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee," right? So it's kind of like what we've been dealing with all along, you know, what it's like to be a representative of the kingdom of heaven. You know what I mean? In spite of all of the darkness that's in the world, the Lord's presence upon us is a light. And even in that context, the darker that it is out there, the brighter that light shines, amen? Like, it just is what it is. Like, the darker that it gets, when that light shines, that light is shining that much brighter, right? So understand that, you know, in the days that are now, in the days that are coming ahead, as these things happen, as the Lord's presence is upon us, it will be a light that will draw, right? It's going to be a lot of darkness out there, right? All that darkness is going to be out there. We are going to be the light that's shining out in that darkness, right? And that light that shines will draw, right? So we have to have that expectation and understand that it is what it is. But as God's presence is upon us, this is what will happen, right? So again, it says here, "And his glory shall be upon thee." Verse 3, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light," right? So because that light is shining, because God is dealing with us, because these things are happening, it's going to draw, right? I'm not saying it's drawing everybody, but it will draw. That's an expectation that we can have, right? So it says, "And a Gentile shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising," right? So these are days that will be coming ahead, right? This is not exactly happening yet. It'll be happening later on, but this is something that we can look forward to. "So Gentiles shall come to our light, kings to the brightness of thy rising." Verse 4, "Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all that gather themselves together. They shall come to thee, thy son shall come from far, right? So this is us being scattered. This is talking about us being scattered, and this is in reference to us coming back into the land too. It says, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side, right? So when we saw, right, when we disobeyed in all of the, I'm trying to think what's the word, curses that came upon us, when it said we would long to see our daughters and our sons, yet they will be gone, all those things. So now we seeing at this period, we seeing the opposite happen. The sons are coming back. The daughters are being able to nurse at their side, right? So this is the reconciling of all of the things that had happened to us as a people. But this is the other side where we have done what we needed to do. The time is coming for us to come back together, right? And so thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Verse 5, then thou shalt see and flow together. So you know how when it talks about in the curses that when we were blessed, we would go out and our enemies would flee before us seven ways. But when we were cursed, we would go out to our enemies and we would flee seven ways, right? So we see the opposites happening, right? And then it also is us not being able to be on the same page. All of these things are happening, right? But the reason why we can't be on the same page is because we're not on the same page with God, right? Like we try to get on the same page with all of these other things, but God is saying, okay, I'm not going to let y'all come together for all these other things if I'm not in the middle of it, right? So once we be able to turn back to God and these things start coming back together, it says, then thou shalt see and flow together. So us being on the same page with God starts allowing us to flow together. And thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, right? So we understand in the days that's happening in the future, you know, the science says that 75% of the earth is covered with ocean, you know what I mean? In the days that's coming ahead in the world that the Lord is preparing in the future, a lot of that ocean water, ocean space is going to be converted into land. So when you see here, it says the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, right? So let's continue. Verse 6. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, right? So what we're seeing is abundance starting to come to us. So the multitude of camels shall cover thee. It says the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. So the dromedaries, we can look it up, but it's I looked it up earlier. Let me look up real quick. It says the dromedaries, basically a young camel. Because I had never seen that word before. What is a dromedary? It's a young camel, right? So we see that the camels shall cover thee in the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. So it's like these blessings are coming. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord, right? So in all that we've experienced in a lot of our lives, we've experienced what it's like to be under the curse. You know what I mean? We see all of the things that happen to us as a people. We see all these things. Well, in this time frame, it's where you're starting to see what it's like for us to operate under the blessing, right? So these things are coming. The camels are coming, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord. Verse 7, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, right? So these are more than just camels. It says the rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee, and they shall come up with acceptance of mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory, right? So understand this, that at Christ's return, and when Christ establishes his kingdom and everything like that, that we'll once again begin to sacrifice animals, right? But it won't be for sin, right? So understand, like when we were in our land, we had multiple sacrifices. It was for different things. It just wasn't for sin. Sin was one of them. So Christ became the perfect lamb for us and the sacrifice for sin, so that that no longer will need to be done. But there's heave offerings, there's wave offerings, there's all these other things that will still be done even in the future, right? So as those things happen, so you know, if we come back into the land, you know, we ain't got all of these things. You know, here we in America, we ain't got no sheep and we ain't got no camel, we ain't got no rams, we ain't got none of those things. So for us to come back into the land, you know, the Lord gonna have to provide those things. And so what you see here, he's telling you, I'm gonna bring all of the flocks of Kedor, and they shall be gathered together unto thee, and the rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee, and they shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Verse 8, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me. So this is saying that these are all of the things that's just waiting for the Lord to do what he need to do. Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, right? So this is him bringing everybody back into the land. Their silver and their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, because he have glorified thee, right? So all of these things are going to be happening, right? And even when we see in the declaration that's made about us being a stranger in a nation for 400 years, and the scripture says, and after that, he would judge the nations. And then after that, we would come out with great substance. So we understand those things are going to be happening too, right? So you see them as they're returning. What do they have? They have, so they're coming on their ships to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, unto the Holy One of Israel, because he have glorified thee, right? So all these things are happening because he's blessing us, amen? That you starting to see the opposite of all of the things that we've experienced. Verse 10, and the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath, I smote thee. So he's saying, when he was angry with us, he smote us. He struck us. But in my favor, I have had mercy on thee. So we see the opposite happening, right? And I don't know about y'all, but I look forward to the day that we as a whole can experience the favor of the Lord in our land, right? So we can experience favor of him to an extent, but there's a whole different level of what that favor is when you see the righteous of the Lord in our own land, right? So, whereas again, for in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I mercy on thee. Verse 11. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually, right? And so, understand what that means. So, for gates to be open continually, that means you at peace. See, y'all seen those medieval castles back in the day where they had the drawbridge and they had they could pull the gate up and let the gate down. Well, for your gates to be open continually, that means you at peace, because anytime you at war, you bring those gates up, amen. You don't want nobody coming into the gates. You protecting yourself from the enemies, amen. So for your gate to be open continually, that means you at peace. That usually means you are also the dominant one, right? So if I am the dominant force in the land, and I know no enemy out there can rival me, I'm not concerned about raising up my gates, amen, because I know ain't nothing they can do that can take me out, so I can leave my gates open. So you see here where it says, again, verse 11, therefore thy gates shall be open continually, and they shall not shut day nor night. So it's saying they ain't gonna even shut, even at nighttime, you still gonna be protected. So these your gates ain't gonna shut, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. So it's explaining to you that's what's going to happen. And even we see in other scriptures it talks about this. When Christ is ruling, all of those other nations out there that choose not to pay homage to Israel, that choose not to bring up sacrifices and choose not to do those things, it's going to bring destruction to their land. Famine and pestilence shall go into their land. So we see that here. For a nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. And that's exactly what you see happening here. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. So imagine a day where we in a land where we can be at peace at all times. Ain't nobody looking for our destruction. Ain't nobody looking to make sport with us, to have fun at our expense. Because that happens now. You know that, right? Like, people do stuff at the expense of black people on purpose, right? Like, it ain't happenstance. No, they're doing it on purpose. But imagine being in the land where you don't even have to worry about those kinds of things happening. It's going to be far from us. We don't have to worry about that. And the ones that don't serve us, they're going to have to perish. They're going to have to feel the hardships. All of the stuff that we've been experiencing, those people that choose not to serve, choose not to follow what the Lord has instructed, those people shall perish, and their land shall be utterly wasted. It says, verse 13, the glory of Lebanon shall come upon thee. The fir tree and the pine tree and the box together, these are all trees. Lebanon is known for trees. It's great trees. So when you see the glory of Lebanon shall come upon thee, the fir tree and the pine tree and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Right, so the scripture says the earth is the Lord's footstool, right? So it says, I'll make the place of my feet glorious. Verse 14 says, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, right? So all of those ones that were afflicting us, right? All of the affliction that we are experiencing right now, all of those things that are allowed because we are under the curse, in these days, the sons of the ones that were cursing us and afflicting us, those sons will come to us and bend unto us. They'll bend the knee. These are the days that's coming ahead, right? And for all the things that we've experienced up until this point, this is going to be the opposite of that. So the very ones that were afflicting us, they're going to have to bend unto us. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves, right? So understand, all of these things are happening now to us because of the covenant with our God. That's basically why it's happening. And the problem why we're experiencing what we're experiencing is clearly because we disobeyed that covenant. But when we repent, when we turn from our wicked ways and he hears from heaven and he heals our land, he forgives our sin and he heals our land, this is what that's going to start to look like, right? So all those ones that he was using as tools against us, they're going to have to bow. It says, they shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, right? So that's not even bending the knee. That's even more of a humbling state where you have to bend even down to the feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Verse 15, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated. This is the state that we in. We had been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee. See, they don't go through us. They use us for purposes, but they go through each other to do the things that they do, right? Because they don't see us as valuable enough for that those things to even happen. We don't consider your feelings. We don't consider your thoughts. We make decisions for you. We make thoughts for you. And then we use our machine to push that out to you. That's how they see us, right? They don't value our opinions or our thoughts about things. So it's saying here, you know, whereas though we were forsaken and hated, that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations, right? So we're going to see the turning of all of these things. Whereas the scripture said that in the curses we will be a byword and an astonishment to all of the nations. And that's what we're seeing right now. All the showing their colors is what we doing right now. All those things you see happening that other people look at us and they are astonished, and they look at us and they can't figure out why we do what we do. That's part of our curse, right? But at this day, it says that he will make us an internal excellency. So whereas now we do so much stuff in foolishness, we do so much stuff in mediocrity, in this day it'll be an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations versus a shame. It says, verse 16, it says, thou shalt suck the milk of the Gentiles, and thou shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer and the Mighty One of Jacob. So what you see in here is the opposite of what we're experiencing. Whereas now, we labor and we work and we toil, we do all of these things, and we have all of these other nations of people sucking at the milk of what we're doing, amen. You see those things happen. They count on our resources to fund their wealth, right? And we spend all our money as soon as we get it. We ain't investing. We did the study a long time ago. In our community, our money lasts less than 24 hours. As soon as we get it, it's spent and it's going to some other nation. No, those are the things that are happening, right? So those people are getting rich at our expense, right? They're getting the benefit and they're profiting at our expense. But we see here, it's going to be the opposite. Israel is going to be benefiting at the expense of the Gentiles. So when you see here where it says, and thou shalt suck at the milk of the Gentiles, that means that we're going to be able to reap from what they're doing, right? The toils that they have and the things that's going on with them, we're going to be able to reap from them. We're going to be able to suck at the breast of kings. So these nations are going to be out there. They're going to have all these nations all over the world, and they're going to have their kingdoms and all of these things, but they're not going to be Israel. And so those kingdoms are going to have to be providing for Israel. So as strong as it is right now that it's the opposite of that, that we can't never seem to get ahead, we always seem to be at the bottom, seem like everybody else can come and they get a rung ahead of us on the ladder and all those things, as strong as that is on us right now, in the future it's going to be the opposite. It's just like the scripture talks about how in our fallen state, the curses would overtake us. You know, we ain't even got to look for it. The curses would overtake us. We could be minding our own business. Here come the curse, right? Well, when we are in obedience, when we doing what we supposed to do, and we in the land in this day that's coming, the blessings going to overtake us. We going to be minding our own business. And Gentile come on, I want to bless you. Here, let me bless you. It's going to be the opposite. Whereas now, they look at us and they see, oh, okay, I see a sucker. How much you want your car payments to be? They looking to butter you up. They ain't looking to help you out. They ain't looking to be your friend. They see you coming and they see dollar signs. I think I can extract some dollars out of them. Let me figure out a way to do that. Well, just like it is like that now, it's going to be the opposite. They're going to be trying to figure out ways to bless us, because they're going to know God is with us. And they're going to know God is among us. And so as a result, they're going to want to bless us rather than take advantage of us, right? So these are the days that's coming, right? So again, verse 16, thou shalt suck the milk of Gentiles and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer and the Mighty One of Jacob. Now, here's how you're going to be upgrading us. Verse 17, for brass, I will bring gold. So you got brass? I'm going to bring gold in exchange for that brass. Okay. For iron, I will bring silver. So if you got iron, well, with that iron going to be upgraded to silver. And for wood, brass. So if you got wood, we're going to upgrade that wood to brass. For stones, iron. If you just got regular old rocks, them rocks are going to be upgraded for iron. And that's how the Lord is going to be blessing. Whereas it seems like, you know, the curse is what we got is being taken away. He said in this period, for what you got, I'm going to be upgrading. So you see all the upgrading. It says, I will make thy officers peace. See, our officers right now ain't peace. Amen. It just ain't what it is. It's, I will make thy officers peace. Because in that day, when we line up, when we doing what the Lord wanted us to do, It ain't gonna be this strife and this violence and all of these things that we do right now. It's gonna be peace. I'll make the officers peace and thine exactors righteousness. Right? So exactors. Are taskmasters. It says raiser of taxes. Workmen. So basically, those that'll be over us, those that maybe even if we still have tax collectors at the time, they'll be righteous. Whereas we see back in the day during Jesus' day, they couldn't stand the tax collector because those guys were unrighteous. Amen. They were cheating the people. They were stealing their money and all these things. And when they saw the tax collector coming, yeah, they were not happy, right? But it's saying here in this day, thine exactors shall be righteousness, right? So they're going to be operating in the state of righteousness. It's going to be a whole new day. Verse 18, violence shall no more be heard in our land, right? So we're experiencing all of that violence right now upon us as a nation, within our nation, and all of these things. But it's saying in this day, when we come back into the land, violence shall no more be heard in thy land. So not only is, you know, we're talking about our gates being open all of the time, day and night, because, you know, we don't have to worry about an enemy external to us. It's saying we don't even have to worry about violence within our own land, right? Because even if I'm to have a kingdom and I got gates around my kingdom and I can keep out the enemy, there still can be some violence within the land. Within strife amongst the people, right? That still can happen, right? But we see here, it's going to be so much peace that there ain't going to be no violence in the land. And it says, not only no violence, no wasting, no destruction within thy borders. And thou shalt call thy wall salvation and thy gates praise. It's going to be a privilege to be within those walls. And to be within those gates. So much so that we're going to call the wall salvation and the gates praise. Because it's a privilege to be in it and to be a part of it. Verse 19 says, the sun shall be no more the light thy light by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee everlasting light. And God thy glory. So in this day that's coming ahead and the Lord dwells among us, the Lord himself is going to be our light. Now the sun and the moon will still be there, but Yah's glory is going to be brighter than the sun. So I want to deviate a little bit just to see, you know, this talked about in a little bit more detail. So we're in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 26. And it says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. So in this day that's coming ahead, whereas you see darkness prevalent now, right? So in the world that we live in now, you know, it's sunlight during the daytime and it's darkness at nighttime, right? It gives a period for darkness to prevail. Well, during this time, ain't gonna be no darkness. The glory of the Lord is gonna be lighting everything up, right? So it says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. So the moon is gonna be so bright that just like the sun is today in brightness, the moon at this point is gonna be just as bright as the sun is. It says, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. So the moon is going to be brighter. The sun is going to be brighter. It says, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people. So when he bring us back together, when he restore us as a people, this is the time frame where the sun is going to be brighter and the moon is going to be brighter. And healeth the stroke of their wound, right? So the wound that we experiencing, that we operating in now, in that day when those things are bound up, when those things are restored by the Lord, then we're going to see that the sun is going to be brighter and the moon is going to be brighter, but also the glory of the Lord is going to be shining, right? It's going to be bright too. So we're going to see a period where it's not no darkness. Darkness can't prevail like it is right now. Okay, so verse 27, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I was like, wait, that ain't what I was. I jumped over to 30, and then I need to go back to 60. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, that ain't sounding right. Let me go back to 60. Again, verse 19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Verse 20, thy sun shall no more go down. So basically it's meaning it ain't gonna get dark. The sun ain't gonna go down no more. It's gonna stay light. It ain't gonna be an avenue for darkness to prevail. The sun is gonna always be up and giving its light. Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. The moon ain't gonna withdraw either. The moon is always gonna be giving light. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. So from that point forward, the Lord's glory is gonna be lighting up humanity, lighting up the earth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As well as the glory of the Lord, the light that comes from the glory of the Lord. And again, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. So we in a period now where we experiencing still some of the curse, so we mourn, all these things are going on. But in this day that's coming ahead, it says the days of our mourning shall be ended. And I don't know about y'all, but I look forward to a day where I can experience all of these things. And I don't have to mourn. And mourning is ended. And darkness is ended. And righteousness is prevailing. And all of these things. And the Lord is with us. And we are with the Lord. I just so look forward to this day. Even in the midst of all of the things that's going on right now, I know the Lord has this expected end for us, right? And so it talks about it. So again, the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Verse 21, thy people shall be all righteous. So at this point, he done got rid of the unrighteous. All that stuff has been done away. Thy people shall be all righteous, and they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of mine hands, that I may be glorified. So the Lord is going to do all of these things so that he can be glorified. And I don't know about y'all, but I look forward to this day. It says, a little one shall become a thousand, right? So during this day, they still going to be married and given into marriage, right? So children can still be born. But so it says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. So whereas now we've been devoured, you see these things like Planned Parenthood and all these things that they doing to specifically destroy us as a nation, and all of the things they specifically putting in food and stuff like that that's targeted to us, that keeps our numbers down and keeps us diminished. And this day is saying, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. And I like this final verse. It says, or the final part of this verse, I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. So remember we talked about in the last lesson that God is not slack concerning time as men consider slackness, right? So it seems like all of this stuff is delayed, you know, all these things. And he says, you know, to him, a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years as a day. God ain't slack concerning these things. He know all of these things are going on, but he's saying this day that I have for you as a people, I, the Lord, will hasten it in my time. Yeah, there are things that's got to happen. My word can't return unto me void. All of these things that I've declared, they got to happen. But this day that he's looking forward to, that we will be his righteousness, we will be all of these things, he says, I will hasten it in his time. So understand that. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about y'all, but in spite of all that we done had to endure and all of these things, for the iniquities of our fathers and for our own iniquities, amen. I don't want to just You know, put it all on their shoulders. As we continue to do what it is that we call to do, we let this be our hope in the midst of all the things that's going on. It may be dark, but understand, like what it said at the beginning of the scripture, that the Lord will be upon us. And Him being upon us will be the light. Amen. So even in the midst of all of the darkness, let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord be with you. Let Him be dwell in His presence and let Him dwell with you. And when that happens, we become the light. Amen. We become the light. And it progresses all the way to these things that we see here at the end, right? And the Lord is saying He's hastening it in His time. Amen. Meaning He got to do the things He got to do. But beyond that, He's hastening it. Amen. What time is it? That's all I got for today. Any questions or comments on this or thoughts? I just want us to be encouraged. You know, with all that's going on in the world, the Lord ain't forgot His people. The Lord ain't utterly cast us away. There's a purpose and a plan. And for us, we just want to be that remnant that represents Him, that He can use, so that we can look forward to these days that He's promised us ahead. Amen. All right, if no other questions or comments or thoughts.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, we were in a discussion, and it was told to us, like, in a year, we have a year left before He's to come back. And, you know, I didn't say nothing, I just listened, because you have to use wisdom when you're talking to people.
Right.
And I know that none of us know the minute or the hour of mm-hmm. His return.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, how can I put it? Why do people feel like the King James Bible is not the true Bible?
So, you want that question or the other thing? But I can answer it. So, there are a lot of things out there. So, here's what you got to understand, right? So, and I think it's a good question. So, when you look at it in the midst of understanding all of these things, I'm going to say this. There has to be true fellowship with Yah in order to have an understanding of what the truth is. And even with that being said, everybody ain't called to receive those things. Right now, I'm not saying that God can't deal with anybody, but certain things, how can they, when the scriptures talk about how can they hear except somebody be sent and all of those things, right? So you have that piece that's going on, right? So, and I'll say this. Because it's an understanding that the Lord kind of shared with me just for the sake of understanding in general. See, what people are not aware of, and I feel like a lot of this is the hubris or the pride of men. What people are not aware of is there can be a lie that was told before you were ever born. And that lie becomes socially or culturally acceptable or accepted to be true. Doesn't mean that it is true, but it has been culturally accepted to be true, right? And so when you're born and you're born into that, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you just come to accept those things to be true, right? Because you're born into that, right? And accept that the Spirit of the Lord deal with you. Because the Spirit of the Lord has been around since the beginning of creation, right? So each generation of man, right? So I go to a man. If that man ain't inspired by Yah, if that man is just a man, why should I base what I do based on what that man says? You get what I'm saying? He's only been here a finite amount of time, right? At the max, you know, 120 years, right? So, and the world has been around for thousands of years. So how can this man who's only been around for 120 years truly know all of the details of what's happened up until that point, right? The only thing he can go by is the accounts of other people, whether that be something like oral traditions that have been passed down, but we even know that those things can be corrupted, or whether they be books or things like that, we know those things can be corrupted. But here's the thing, right? So based on those things, they'll say, well, you know, we think that the Bible has been corrupted. Well, the Bible is inspired by God. We serve a God. In the context of all that we've dealt with up until this point, we know that he's controlled. He's in control. Remember, we talked about even down to, it said, the scripture said, you buy two sparrows for a farthing, and then not one of them feet touch the ground without the Lord being in control of it. He's saying, I'm in control of that level of detail. So you're telling me that a God who can control whether a sparrow's foot hit the ground doesn't have the ability to control what he wants in the book that he wants to be taught? I just don't believe it. I believe that God is very capable of keeping in his book what he wants in there and removing out stuff that may have gotten mingled in or whatever, whatever. He's very capable of doing that, right? But here's the thing. If I am unlearned and my fellowship with God ain't where it need to be, then when I'm reading, I'm not understanding. And so you have people who don't have knowledge read the scripture, and because they don't understand it, they'll make declarations that it's a contradiction.
But these people go because of the name, King James. They said this person was a rapist. He was this, he was that. So why are we reading?
So I'm going to say this. We see all of the time in the scripture, just because somebody is not serving the Lord from the context of worshiping the Lord, don't mean the Lord can't use them for his purposes and his plans, right? So when he raised up Nebuchadnezzar to do what he needed to do, was Nebuchadnezzar a righteous man? No, he was not. But he was a vessel that the Lord could use for the purposes that he had at that moment, right? So you can't use even something like, well, King James was an unrighteous man. Do I need him to be a righteous man to have scribes transcribe from this language to that language? No, I just need scribes that can do that task, right? So when you're looking at those things, all of those things Yah is in control of. He's not lack. He doesn't lack ability. He doesn't lack knowledge. He doesn't lack all of these things. He's well capable, and he can choose whatever vessel he wants to accomplish what he wants, right? So when you see, for example, when provision needs to be made for Joseph and Israel because the famine was coming, right? There was a Pharaoh in place. We didn't say that Pharaoh served the Lord. He just was in place, and the Lord used him. He put Joseph second in command, and he used that Pharaoh to carry about his will. That doesn't mean that Pharaoh was a righteous man. You see what I'm saying, right? So you can't use that as a determiner of whether something is something that God is doing, because he can use whoever he wants to accomplish what he wants, right? And what I'm saying is, I've studied the scripture enough to know that in all those areas where I see men go left, whatever, it's because in that area they didn't study enough, right? It is not that it's not there, it's just that they missed. And or the other thing that happens is this, and I've been guilty of this before. There's a doctrine that pertains to that scripture that has become culturally acceptable, although it's not actually what that scripture meant. But somewhere along the line, somebody who had enough clout said, well, it means this. And that meaning came to it.
Hold up, I'm glad you said that, because in the midst of our conversation,
mm-hmm.
they show us this Bible and say, you know, we was asking men, you know, this Bible come out because we need something to be teaching. And in my mind, I'm saying, but you're depending on a man that you really don't know nothing about, but you called him an elder. They done got together and wrote this new Bible, and that's what you go and that's what you teach people.
Dangerous.
And because it takes, they're taking parts from the King James
Bible,
and that's the funny part about it.
Because at the very end, what does it say? Let's look at the very end of the Bible. Let's look there. Okay, verse 18. This is Revelation 22. I think I'm going to start at verse. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which were written in this book. Right? So God takes it serious. Amen. So I would be very leery of anybody that's changing up scripture, that's adding and taking away because they feel X, Y, or Z. That's a dangerous place to put yourself in based on the scriptures that we just read right here. So I'll say this. What qualifies a man to be able to make that declaration? Which goes back to all the things that I was saying before. There are lies that have been told that people won't understand unless the Spirit of God himself revealed those things. So when the first time me and Pastor was in the office, and he said this. He said this by the Spirit. He said that if the sun wasn't there, it would still be light. I was like, what? And I struggled with that because, I grew up in school. I grew up with all of the science and the solar system and all of the stuff that they were telling me. But then when we went and looked at the scripture, the first thing he said was, let there be light. He didn't say, let there be a sun. He didn't put a sun and a moon in the sky to give the light. No. He said, let there be light. And then it said what? He divided the light from the darkness, day and night. Understand, evening and morning was the first day, still wasn't no sun. So he established an order and he put that out there, but that light was light all by itself, right? So when I saw that, I was dumbfounded at first, but then when I studied and I looked, I'm like, sure enough, this is what the scriptures say. So am I going to believe science that was taught to me in my book? Or am I going to believe the things that the Lord revealed and that's also confirmed in scripture? I think I might ought to believe the things that the Lord revealed. That's also in scripture, right? And sometimes it's hard when you have been taught a certain way and those things have been accepted. You see what I'm saying? Oh, and then what you got to understand is we got all of these demons working overtime to get all of this stuff culturally acceptable, amen? All of these things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. These demons are working overtime to get that stuff culturally acceptable so that you have new babies that's born in the world where we don't know what a man is and a woman is. They don't know what, we don't know. It's 18 different genders. They want to get all those things culturally acceptable so that when the next crop is come up, it's come up in this corruption, right? But the Spirit of the Lord is here to see through all of that deception, amen? And for us to do like what it's saying here, we gonna be some refreshing things because we gonna be telling things that are truth. That's gonna be going against all of the lies that are out there, right? Now some people are gonna hate on us for that. It is what it is. But it's some people that when that light is brought to them, they gonna receive it with gladness, amen. They gonna receive it excitingly, and that's what we look forward to. We gotta be willing to do those things. So when you see those things happening, I say this, pray for those people. If the Lord don't give you nothing to say to them, then don't say nothing, right? But when they're in error, you can still pray for those people that they be brought to the light, right? But at the same time, if you feel led, you can also share, right? And then when it comes to those things, it's like what we've been talking about in all the lessons up until this point. You do it with love. If they receive it, good. If they don't receive it, you just follow the instructions that the Lord gave you, and that gets you off the hook, right? When you see those things happening, as the watchman, you say, is what the scripture that we dealt with earlier, what the Lord says to you in secret, you say boldly out in public, right? So if he give it to you to say, then you say it. And if they receive it, you gain the brother. If they don't receive it, you did the commission that was given to you. There's not much else you can do beyond that, right? So understand, we're going to be encountering a lot of doctrines out there in the days that's coming ahead. And we just going to have to deal with those things and let the Lord use us. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody else? All right, I'm going to stop right there. Lord, we just thank you for all of the understanding. We thank you, Yah, for the expected end that you have prepared for us and for those that love you and that follow your lead, God. And we just ask that you continue to lead us and guide us in all truth. Help us on our daily basis, God. And we just thank you for the hope and all of the promises that you have declared for us. We just look forward to the day where we can be your righteous seed and we can operate in our land and do all that you originally designed and purposed for us. And we just thank you, Yah, for the grace until that day. In Yeshua's name, amen.